Welcome to the J Train Podcast. We have an amazing episode. We do an Am I Crazy Dog? We do a mailbag question. We do a luxury lounge. And then we head into Patreon and we talk about what you should watch on TV this week. One of them being Tyler Cameron, who has a new show on Amazon Prime. Want you to go check it out. It looks amazing. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the new J Train Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jared Fried coming to you live from Feather Nation Studios every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions, your complaints. That's right. This podcast is about you. You have a problem. You have a story to tell. You had something that made you feel. I want you to write it in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. This is a user-generated show. It always has been. I'm here on my own today. Again, you know as a listener, if you've been here for a long time, I'm tinkering with this one. This podcast is like my classic car. I'm always tinkering. I'm always looking at it going, can I make it better? Can I add leather seats? Can I make this more fun? So I'm doing, for the next two episodes, going to be alone. Just you and Papa JT. You and Uncle J Train. The whole point of this show is a safe space where you can watch other people dissect your problems, dissect your complaints, dissect the things that make you feel. Maybe there's a TikTok that made you feel. Any segment that we do here is something that you, listener at home, watcher on YouTube, hello YouTube land, can add to. I had a TikTok that made me go, what is this? Why is it on my feed? Send it to your Uncle J Train. Send it to me, Papa JT, the Wizard of Oz, the Sultan of Scream, the Bird Lord. You know where to send it, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. And we've been doing a segment called Am I Crazy Dog? Really, these are one of those, you know, this segment, I like it because it is in the land of, if I could just, you know, when something happens, you just want to look around and have someone in the vicinity see everything that just happened and go, This is where you come to for an Now, we're going to start with Am I Crazy Dog? And this is a segment that I love because sometimes something happens and you want to look around and have someone look at you and go, yeah, I see it. This is wild. And that's, sometimes you don't have that person, which is so frustrating. So you send it here, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Title it, Am I Crazy Dog? We're going to talk about it. Host mother-in-law's birthday bash. Now, right away, I can understand why this is an Am I Crazy Dog. Your mother-in-law is somewhere out there being like, I want a birthday bash. That's my first assumption is, why does it, you know, there is one of those things, it's like, how old are you? You need a birthday bash? Well, let's see. My mother-in-law sent a text to my husband, her son. Yeah, that's usually how it works. Thank you. Asking if she could have her birthday weekend at our house. What is she, 21? Birthday weekend? I need a place to crash. Hey, do you got, your house would be fun. I don't want my parents finding out about my birthday weekend. When does that run out? Asked if she could have her birthday weekend at our house and invite the girls and their husbands, her daughters, my sister-in-laws, and their husbands to all stay here. Okay, so here's the premise. Her mother-in-law is asking to use her house to have the whole mishpucha, the whole family over, for a birthday weekend. That's fine, they write. Whatever. Yeah, you sound pretty fine with it. We live 2 hours away from them and recently moved into a new house. I don't love when people invite themselves over for a weekend and invite additional guests, but oh well. Well, let me go back at you. Again, I'm a fair dictator here at the J Train Podcast. I can tell by the way you wrote this, you don't want these people in your home. That's okay. But when you say, I don't love when people invite themselves over for a weekend and invite additional guests, this isn't general people. You know, you're right, generally. If you told this story a certain way, you would be correct. Yeah, I don't like when people invite themselves to my place too. But people aren't generally my mom and dad, my blood, and my sisters and brothers. So this is different. Let's admit this is different. But then she followed up and decided to ask my husband if instead of having her birthday at our house, she could have it at my parents' vacation house. Oh, mama's a mooch. This mom, so here's the thing. As I read this email, and I love like dissecting along the way, because as you read the email, now I'm getting to know the family. I can see the ingredients going into the stew. This mom is a mooch. This mom is a pain in the ass. I don't like this mom. I now understand why, and it's the way people write stuff that I find so interesting. I don't love when people invite themselves over for a weekend. You knew if you wrote it that way, no one could disagree with you. A crazy person could only disagree with you. Hey guys, isn't it horrible when people invite themselves over to your house and invite additional guests? Every normal, sane person would go, yes, screw those people. This is why. And not to be political, but I don't think this is political. This is a big thing happening right now. You go watch a comedian. People are talking shit. When you go to the generalized people, you're creating a straw man that we can all rage against. And that's fun to do. That's scratching an itch. So I understand what you're doing, but now that I have more information, Now as we go on with the story, I'm like, yeah, you wanted us all to hate your mother-in-law, which I do. I don't like her because of the next sentence. You didn't need to convince me. You went, I love people. Now I'm doing it. Now, but I love what you did. I love what you did because I can see you just wanted us to agree with you. And I do agree with you, but you didn't need to do, I just don't. I'm just one of those weird people who doesn't like when people invite other people to your house. Yeah, you're not that weird. That's not a special snowflake. That's pretty fucking normal. Okay, back to the email. But then she followed up and decided to ask my husband if instead of having her birthday at our house, she could have it at my parents' vacation house. Also, I'm also, there's a money thing going on. You know, like husband's got some dough, family's got some dough, mama bear is, you know, Ask my husband if instead of having her birthday, she could have it at my parents. So she, emailer's got some dough.
Yeah.
Emailer's got dough.
And so does her husband. Family.
Emailer's family's got some dough. Beach house dough. I don't know. Word. Beach house is different than lake house. Yeah. So you're up there. you tell me lake house. I'm like, yeah, we'll see what this place looks like. You tell me beach house. Okay. And we don't know if it's beachfront property, but, you know, that is definitely different. So emailer's got some dough. Family's got some dough. Husband's mom is liking the life of luxury that she's gotten to, like, taste a little bit. Mm-hmm. So now she knows she's probably been to the beach house. She's seen it before. Her family's probably very nice to her. They've got nothing but dough and money to treat everyone to everything. And now the mama is, husband's mom has gotten a little ahead of herself. I'm putting some of my own opinions on this, but it's not hard to get to that spot. Am I crazy to think this is a crazy ask? Asking her son if she can go to his wife's parents' vacation house with her whole family for her birthday weekend, and it's not even a big birthday. I cannot imagine the tables being turned and my parents asking to use their son-in-law's mother's house for a weekend. Yeah, they don't want to use your mother-in-law's shanty for their birthday weekend. They want to be at the Ritz. They don't want to go to your mother-in-law's, you know, garbage home condo. Yeah, it wouldn't. The reverse is never going to happen because the reverse is. But also, I agree with you. The reverse, if all is equal, it isn't equal. His mom doesn't have a beach house to go to for her birthday weekend. So that's why she's going, where could I go for free to celebrate my wonderful birthday with my family? My son married well. I love this Am I Crazy Dog. Keep sending them in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. It was one thing to invite yourself to my house. Yeah, your house is probably nicer than her house too. But another to try and invite yourself to my parents' place. I'm with you. Jared and guests. Yeah, you got just me. Okay? And I don't think you're crazy at all. Please tell me, am I crazy dog? Or are in-laws just crazy and this is par for the course? Signed, Bound with No Boundaries. Good sign off. No, you're not crazy at all. This is a crazy ask from them. It is easy to get out of because there's an easy lie to tell. Sorry, my parents are using it that way weekend. We can't. We would love to have you at our home. But if that doesn't work, just let me know so I know to, you know, whether I should put out the cots or not for the whole family to come stay here. That's the move. You're not crazy at all. It is crazy of them to ask this of you. Hey, you got a beach house. Could me and my whole family come and hang out there and make a mess and eat your food? Oh, we'll put stuff in the fridge. And they're not going to the nice market. They're not going to Whole Foods. They're going to go put some Key Foods crap in your family's big mansion at the beach. Yeah, no, this is crazy. This is like, you know, I think there's a Yiddish word for someone who would do this type of thing. And I'm trying to figure out what it is. Can you look up Yiddish word for mooch? There's better be a Yiddish. This is, because this is schnorr. Yeah, this is a schnorr. A scrounger who takes advantage of the generosity of others. Synonyms, schnorr type of moocher, scrounger. So, you know, schnorr. This is a word that like makes me warm inside. If you're Jewish, you've heard someone referred to as a schnorr and you go, I don't want to be that person. Your mother-in-law is a schnorr. There it is. I have an I'm My Crazy Dog. I want to go into this. And not to Jew it up too much, but this is on the subject of Jewish celebrations. It is Passover today, if you're listening on Monday. Happy Passover to all. Today is the, you know, you do the Seder. The Seder, going back in my childhood, the memories were my mom's side of the family is more religious than my dad's side of the family. Sometimes we would go to my mom's side of the family to go do a Seder with them. And all the memories are, oh my God, when can we eat? That is a Seder. Oh my God, when does this story end? Please, I need to eat. And basically, they tell the story of Passover every year, and you go through the whole story, and you eat different elements or do different things along the way during the story to represent different things that happened, okay? That's as deep as I'm going to go here. But you get so hungry. You want to eat so badly. Like, there's one part that's like the bitter herbs to represent the bitterness of being slaves during this time. And you're eating bitter herbs going, oh, thank God I can put something into my body. That is my childhood memory of a Seder. So I got asked, and this is the email. Basically, I got put in touch with, so Passover, the major Jewish spring festival, which commemorates the liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, lasting 7 or 8 days from the 15th day of Nisan. Nissan Maxima. So I'm familiar with Seders. I've been to Seders. They can be fun. It is actually a nice thing. It's sitting around the table with your family. And I think the more embarrassed of how Jewish you are, the more fun it can be, because you're like, what are we doing? We don't know what the hell we're talking about. There's always one person that's like dubbed the most religious that leads the Seder. There's a lot of fun stuff that goes with it. Not to down a Seder, but I got this email that they do the, so I get intro because they were looking for Jews with followings, I guess, like Jews that are, so they do this thing called the Downtown Seder. And it's a great event that features comics, musicians, activists, and everyone in between. Below, you'll find a note from the CEO giving the history of the event. And it says, every year for 31 years now, They produced an artist and social action Passover Seder featuring 20 or so artists, political figures, comedians, and thinkers for an inspired two-hour ancient dinner party complete with lots of wine, vegetarian food, and 300 paying customers. I would like to invite you on April 17th, so this will be... This is a week before Passover, 5 days before Passover actually starts, to participate by taking part with a 4 to 5 minute section of the Haggadah, which is like the book that you read from, which can be interpreted in many ways. So basically, they want you to a fun segment. They want your take in a fun way on a particular section of this story that gets told for hours and hours until you can eat. That's what, you know, to put it all into place. So I will say, when I got invited, I go, this is great. This is cool. I like Jewish guitar Jewish shit, which means I like when they take an old concept and add a guitar to it. I like that. Like, I think that's nice. I think it's sweet. I think it's like, yeah, let's keep with the times. Let's make something that you remember as being boring and slow and make it fun. So I'm interested. So I wrote back and I'm like, let me just admit, because this is an Am I Crazy Dog, let me be open and honest, and I'm not trying to like convince you to be on my side. They had to like follow up with me. I saw that email. I kind of saw it. I was like, oh, this is cool. Let me think about it. And then they want to follow up with me. And I said, hey, thanks so much. Sounds really cool. What would be expected of me for the event? Here's the thing when I think of like, will I do something? One, they've never discussed payment, so I'm not getting paid. Okay, fine. But I understand intrinsic value of things. I understand that like, and that is something when I got into comedy, when you go, if you go into something that everyone would love to do, you have to remember that. Everyone would love to be a comedian and travel the world. I have to remember that. I have to appreciate that. So when I am asked to do something, first of all, every minute of my life is committed to being a comedian. Every minute of my life, you know, there's no off button. You know, if I'm asked to do something at 11 o'clock at night, all right, let me think about it. Will I have fun? Will it help me progress? Will it help my bank account so I can pay rent, so I can pay to produce this podcast? You know, these are things. And again, I watched as I entered into comedy, people forget these things. You see people that you started with that you have to always, everything you do, not, and again, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm saying that with like friendships. That's not how, what I mean is for, hey, would you like to do this show in the back of a bar on a Tuesday night? And you go, okay, no money, but I can work on jokes that can get me better for the show where I will be paid. And am I free Tuesday night? You know, these are all you, and again, I'm not looking to like be an inspiration to you, but I'm sure if you're out there and you've started your own business, you have done this math in your head. You do this math with everything. My mom used to always say, why are you going and doing that show? And I would be like, you have to trust my reasons. You have to trust that I've done this math. I'm not just walking in a lemming, walking dead into these situations that I haven't thought gets me a gain. Now, I do think incentives are important for everything. I don't believe that anyone does anything selflessly. I don't believe that. There's a whole Friends episode. There's no, right, about no selfless deeds or whatever. Now, I think sometimes you act more selflessly, like on the percentage, on the pie. This is 70% selfless, but it was 30% because you felt you could get something out of this. Now, when I see this event, this sounds like a wonderful event, but it's also, I want to do well on it. I want to be funny and have someone walk away and go, that's a Jewish comedian I'm going to support for my lifetime. So that's why I'm asking, what is expected of me? I'm not, and they reference in their original email, the people who have done it. I mean, Jerry Stiller, Perry Farrell, Jerry Nadler, the congressman, Al Franken, Lou Reed. I mean, these are huge activists, Ruth Messenger, Judy Gold, who's, you know, a friend and also legendary comedian. You know, these are all like huge names that I am not. I'm not Lou Reed. You know, so I'm Jared Fried. I yell at charcuterie. So like I'm not established. Maybe, you know, like I like in my mind, maybe to someone listening, they're like, well, Jared, I've been listening to you for like a decade. You're established to me. Yeah, by my own design. You know, this is a house of cards. I'm bullshitting. You know, I'm a nobody. You know, so when I hear this event, I'm like, okay, what is expected of me? And then they loop me in with the CEO and they give me their number to talk through it. They were very accommodating. And he tells this story about how Jerry Stiller and Ann Mara, I mean, legends, told a funny story about their Passover. And I'm like, yeah. That good for Jerry and Ann. Like, I'm not them. I can't just go tell a quippy story that, oh, off the top of my head, and everyone's gonna go, well, that's Jared Fried. This is cool that he's telling it. They're gonna go, who the fuck is this guy? I sent it to my brother. I go, should I do this? He goes, I don't know. How deep does your Passover material go? Thanks, Harry. Dick, he doesn't really help. So then I see that. And then I get an email last Friday. And it's like, trying to create the order of event, would be interested in talking about a certain part. Doesn't mean you need to do a bit or frankly do. They're saying you don't have to do much. But I'm like, no, I do. I don't want to waste my time. I want to go do that event. Be happy I'm there. So yesterday I get an email with like the run of events and like when to like be there for sound check at 2 p.m. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. I don't. I have shows tonight. I put in for shows. And I wrote last night, hey guys, I'm really sorry. But I didn't agree to do it yet. Let's get one thing straight. They just kind of assumed I was in. Fine. Hey guys, I'm really sorry, but I overextended myself. I can't make it tomorrow. So sorry for the late reply, Jared. That's what I wrote back. And I felt bad because I should have just been ahead of this. I shouldn't have even, you know, I shouldn't have beat around the bush. Shame on me. This guy writes back, Jesus, you're in the printed program at this point. Not cool. I wanted to legitimately jump out the window. I felt, on top of feeling bad, and it is hard for me to write an email like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do it. This made me feel even worse. And I'm like, am I crazy dog to think like, hey, I didn't agree to do it. I'm actually taking the fall. Like, I was willing to go, this is on me, I'm sorry. Not cool. To come back with not cool. When also you're not paid. There wasn't like I agreed to some contract where I'm getting paid. And now I'm like backing out of this deal we made. There was no deal. I feel like a dick. Especially because I do believe in events like this. Like, I do believe that this is wonderful. But I'm also like, I don't think I'm, you know, I have more to lose from an event like this. I have time, effort, you know, like, and it happens a lot with community stuff. You don't have to be Jewish to understand this. Whenever it's your community, whatever community you're from, hey, come do this thing. And they don't, they just think, well, because of the community, you should just get involved. You know, like, I'm like sitting there being like, I want to be successful like you people. I want to be Jerry Stiller. You know, like I and like dilly-dallying around, you know, the Seder, acting like I'm already him, doesn't get me there. You know, and again, it goes to that pie of percentages of like how you decide to do things and when your whole day is spent trying to get to the next level. So that's my Am I Crazy Dog to join you. Send yours in, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Yo, we're sponsored. I love this sponsor because it helps. I think it helps a healthy regiment, is my opinion on this sponsor, Beam. If you've tried every sleep product, if you've tried every sleep podcast, White Noise, there are sleep podcasts?
Yeah.
Really?
There's podcasts that like help you fall asleep, that kind of like soothe you. And like you can also like put a timer. I listen to podcasts sometimes to fall asleep.
I listen to podcasts to fall asleep, but I've never, not specifically sleep podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So I listen to podcasts every night to fall asleep, but I didn't know that there were, maybe I should get into it.
Yeah.
White Noise Maker and supplement on the market and still can't sleep. You need Beam. So Beam's Dream Powder is a science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep. Here's why I like Beam. And I've used it. It is adding to a routine of sleep. They say that routine is a really big part of getting a good night's rest. And that's putting down the phone. That's doing, routine is repeatable things that can help you to get on track, to let your body know. You do have to let your body, mind, and spirit know it's bedtime. Get ready for bed, your parents used to say. I think Beam is a great way to like bring you back to that. Get ready for bed. You drinking a Beam hot cocoa, it is delicious, by the way. It just goes, oh, the body is being informed. It is bedtime. I love it. It's contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling awesome. I love it. I've used it. I do think the routine of it is really helpful, like making the hot cocoa, having it. It's easy to add this into your nighttime routine. Just mix one scoop into hot water or milk, with froth it up, drink it before heading to sleep. It's a treat. The numbers don't lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them get better sleep. JTrain listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, the science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/JTrain. Use code JTrain at checkout. That's shop, B-E-A-M. .com/JTrain. Use code JTrain for up to 40% off. That's a lot of do-re-mi. That won't buy you a beach house, but we're in the mailbag. If you have a question for the JTrain podcast, again, people go, well, why would anyone ask you a question? Because I don't have to look you in the eye. I can give you advice and I can talk honestly. There's no thing I'm selling here. I just want to answer the question, how I would feel. Help with an ex. This person wrote in twice, so they need some help. Okay. JTrain feather. Oh, I love a feather. That is a thing. Here's how you help this podcast. Comment on YouTube. Go rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Share it to your Instagram stories. That feels, when I see myself tagged in an Instagram story, it is like a feather going up and down my anus and all around. That's right. A feather, just, you are underneath me. Imagine me naked in a forest, okay? And you are a little butterfly. It's your head on a butterfly body. And you're holding a feather in your butterfly wing. And you bring it up to my taint and you go up and down the taint. That is what it feels like when you share it to your stories. Tell a friend about this show. I mean, like, again, like, why do you listen to this show? Get away from your own problems. Podcasts are like to put your brand on the shelf. Like, and I do that. I'm a podcast listener. Like, I build this show, and we're heading towards this version of this show that is made for, you know, I'll listen to Am I Crazy Dog? I'll press pause. I'll come back to it. Mm-hmm. We're doing the ads every other email. So, like, you know, oh, ad time. Okay, listen to the ad. Oh, you know what? I'll come back tomorrow for the mailbag. That's what this show is for. It's built to be a part of your week and to get you, you know, get you out of your head. I listen to podcasts on the, you know, at the gym, on the treadmill. Yeah, I do some treadmill. That's always a weird moment. You know, when you go, oh, I'm on the treadmill. When you say, I like to walk. I do like a 3 and a 3. I do a 3% incline, 3% walk after a HIIT workout. It just, I'm like, okay, these are like extra steps I'm getting. But when you say, well, I do it on the treadmill, someone could always look at you and go, you go on the treadmill? And he's like, yeah, I do. JTrain, feather. This one is really long, but I hope the background helps. Well, just do it. You've made it longer. I need help dealing with a text from an ex. Well, you've come to the right place. For context, and we love a screenshot. Send them in, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. For context, we had a situationship from July 2020 to September 2021. Okay, so it takes me a minute to like put that together. July 2020, we are, you know, we're coming out of quarantine for the most part
in New York,
depending on where you are. September 2021, that's a full year and a month. You know, that's in a couple months. That's a long situationship, but I get it. Never officially dated or anything, but we were in the same friend group, so we hung out often. Okay. He moved in the summer of 2021, so I visited him for a couple days. He made it very clear that this was just a friend hangout and not a romantic getaway. That was fine with me. I offered to sleep on the couch, but he said he wanted me in his bed. Of course. And we ended up hooking up a couple of the nights. I was happy we hooked up, but confused. I'm sorry you were confused, but we need to take out the word. Whenever someone says they're confused, that to me means you were turned off. Confused is turned off. The more you say, I was confused, and just go, wait a minute, that was turned off, the better you will be. So if I was to reread this, I was happy we hooked up, but confused. But turned off by the idea that we hooked up without it being more than a friend hangout. That's what that means to me. While I was there, he told me he had met someone, but that she wasn't half as cool or as pretty as me. Ay, brutal. He's saying that because he doesn't want to make you feel bad. He likes you. So what's he supposed to do? Hey, I'm seeing someone, but like, you know, she's way cooler and more awesome than you, but thanks for staying over and hooking up. Like, right, this is all, and again, people talk. When people say things, the incentive base is, how do I make sure I'm not an evil person while keeping someone that I like happy? That's what he was doing. And I'm sorry he was doing that. He was glad, and this is not confused. Again, I'm turned off that I slept with you in your new apartment. You told me you were seeing someone else, but then you gave me some bullshit compliment. That's not confusing. He was glad he got to see me again to know he shouldn't start dating her. That's another. So let me reread that because I don't want it to confuse. He told me he had met someone, but that she wasn't half as cool or as pretty as me. And he was glad he got to see me again to know he shouldn't start dating her. So that's horrible. That's not how you make a decision on whether to date someone. Oh, let me go and taste the fruits of someone else to make sure that they're better than, oh, and what he's doing is he's turning you into, like, he's turning you into, he's sitting there going, I could do better, I could do better, I could do better. So he's already established that, and again, this is based on what you've said, and I know this sounds bad, and I don't mean it to sound insensitive, but he's going, when you guys were a situationship, he was in it going, I like her, she's great, but I think I could do better for me. And that the for me part is what makes it less mean, because it's not better than her, it's a better feeling, and he doesn't even know what that feeling is, but he's hoping it's out there somewhere. When he does that in his own head, I think a lot of people do that when they break up with someone. That's fine. But when he says it to you out loud like this, it's not nice. It's horrible. And I'm sorry it happened. I thought this was rude to say about another girl and to you, and it turned me off. Good. I'm happy you said that. A month later, he visited me. Pretty much the same things happened. I honestly felt pressured to sleep with him and unsafe. Well, I'm really sorry you felt that way. And that sucks. I thought we had a clear boundary this time, and I didn't know what to do when he crossed it. I couldn't wait for him to leave. We had a really unproductive call 2 weeks later, and at the end, he just haphazardly said, by the way, I started dating that girl I told you about. It sucks. He's playing you guys against each other. If he's saying it to you, he's saying it to her. If he's dumb enough to say these things to you, he's saying it to the other side. Or maybe he's not because he's new with her, but he will say it to her in some way. Or that's how he's judging. And again, you should run away from this person. I'm sorry. I said, great, and then hung up the phone. We haven't talked since then. I guess in 2024, 3 years later, on a backpacking trip with my friends, he was asking a lot about me, why I wasn't there, how I was doing. A week later, I got the attached text. So let's read the text. And here's the thing. Sharing the friend group is what keeps a situationship aflame. And it sucks. And because now you hearing from the friends, oh, he's asking about you. He was wondering about you, where you were. And it's like, you know, we would all be better off knowing less. You know, we'd all be better off like, hey, I'm happy to just not know that this person's asked about me. It took me a lot to get over them. Obviously, we went back and forth. I was looking for more. I kind of went along with the contract of the relationship that he was asking for. I feel bad about that now. I wouldn't do that now. And it sucks because your friends don't know this, but they're bringing you back to a place that you've tried to grow from. So here's the text. Hey, sorry for the random text. I just wanted to say, I think that the way things have happened over the last few years could have been really hard on you. Okay. And then I'm really sorry. That's a full-on apology. I mean, you don't have to accept an apology, but let's just say, and here's the thing. I don't know what the friends said to him, but they probably said to him, hey, she kind of feels shitty about how you guys were. If he was on a backpacking trip with them, I'm sure, and he's asking about you, I'm sure your friends who are your friends said like, yeah, you were an asshole to her. So he took the note and now he's texting you. He's sorry. I do understand where you're like, hey, get away from me. I don't want your sorry, but it keeps going. Things were really confusing for me too. He shouldn't speak for you. That's not great. But I think I definitely could have handled, communicated things better, and I never meant to hurt you. If you ever want to talk about it, or if there's anything else I can do to make it better or make you less uncomfortable, please, please, please let me know. But it sounds like you're doing great, though. I'm really happy for you and hope everything keeps going well. My question to you, do I respond to him and tell him how I feel? Do I tell my friends to stop sharing things about me with him? Not sure what would make me feel better. I view what happened as an assault, but I haven't told my friends. Him and the girl are still dating, according to my friend. Help, please help, confused. I'm sorry this happened. I don't know because you're bringing up a very serious accusation, which you have a right to. And it is interesting that you haven't told your friends, but it seems that they have communicated to him. To me, it's my opinion that they communicated to him that you feel wronged by him. And he felt bad about that, and he's trying to apologize to you for that. And I'm sure he knows he did wrong, it sounds like. You know, and he's sitting here trying to make it better. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. What makes you feel better? Like, again, I think this is one of those instances where it's like, let's be selfish. Forget his feelings. He's being selfish. He's doing this apology to make sure that you guys are cool. We chill, right? And if you want to talk it out, we can talk it out. And it's like, maybe I don't want to talk about it with you. You know, maybe this is something that I have to like figure out with a professional, with a therapist, and I'm really sorry. And they wrote in a couple times to get this answer. So it's on their mind. So, I would consult. I'm not a professional. Never said I was. Never. I'm just someone reading your email and feeling really badly about it. And I'm sorry you're going through this. I would consult a professional. Especially when you're saying you feel this was assault. I view what would happen as an assault. So you should talk to a professional because that means you need to have the tools that I can't give you to try and work your way through this issue. And a professional would, you know, no two situations are the same, but sometimes it takes these very real things to be able to work through them that are shared by people. So, yeah. I don't know. Am I off base?
No, I think that's a good advice. I also think that it just sounds like he feels guilty.
Yeah.
You were right on about that. Like they talked about to him saying, I don't think you treated her well. And then he was just like,
yo, my bad. And then like he, because he does, I mean, he sounds like he's an empathetic person, but he also doesn't seem like he knows how to handle things. And it sounds like you're really better off without this person.
Way better off. It's time to, I mean, obviously you've moved on. Life. Right. It's a lesson. And it's also like, you know, it is interesting. Not sure what I view what happened as assault, but haven't told my friends. So your friends are sharing things with him that were beneath assault that made him feel bad enough to write to you and apologize and say, I want to talk through this with you. And your friends obviously told him that you were affected by the relationship in a negative way. So, and this guy seems like he's just trying to let you know, like, I, you know, that is not who I am now. And I'm trying to work, you know, be better, it seems, but you don't owe him anything. You don't owe him a text. I would, you know, as far as do I respond to tell him how I feel, I don't know. And sometimes that's the answer here. Like, I don't know. I would consult a professional. Do I tell my friends to stop sharing things about me with him? Yeah, I would say to your friends that, like, I heard from our mutual friend, and it really brought me back to a place I don't want to go, and I'm not looking to have my life shared with him. Can you do that? Can you do me that favor in going forward? Can you respect my privacy with this person? Not sure what would make me feel better. I don't know either. So I hope this was helpful to hear, you know, this read out and, you know, V, you know, talk with me about it. Because, like, again, I feel uncomfortable reading this because you go, no, this is a fun podcast. But I respect the, like, I feel very, I'm, thank you for trusting me with this email. But it's, again, like, I don't have the tools to give you.
Yeah. Sometimes when these things happen, you, realize the way that it kind of worked out or, and the way that you reacted are deeper issues. And so I think that you suggesting to go see a professional is also helpful, but that she should know that this guy reached out because he's embarrassed.
Right. This text from these are two normal people looking at this text going, yeah, he's realizing I fucked up. And, you know, again, the way he was telling you about the other woman, you know, that's all fucked up shit. Like, that's fucked up in its own right.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's like, you know, it does, people grow up, you know, and, you know, I don't know if he views the hangout you had in the same way. It might be surprising to him that you feel a certain way. Not that that's right. I'm just saying, like, you know, two people are their own thing, have their own experiences. So
I won't be surprised if this guy also doesn't end up with this girl he's dating.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and then it becomes, do you want, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Sounds like she's better off.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Just because 420 is over doesn't mean you can't keep celebrating. Via gummies give you tons of options so you can get the high you're craving. If you want to chill out after a long day, there's a Via gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress, there's a Via gummy for that too. Even if you want to kick things up a notch in the bedroom, Via has you covered. I love what Via is doing. I love, because I think all of us want personalized. I think all of us want something that we don't want to just have, you know, CBD to have CBD. We want it for a specific thing, for a specific point in the day. I have used Via. I love the bedroom stuff. I think that's fun and cool to share with a partner. The act of just both of you popping a gummy at the same time, that's upping the sexuality in itself. Just the act of doing it. If you're not into THC, no problem. Check out Via's CBD line with products designed for sleep, focus, amp, energy. Their THC products range from 2 milligrams to 50. I love that. I like a little baby one. So they've got you covered. Whether you're looking to microdose or you're ready to really go for it. If you're 21 or older, check out the link to Via in our description and use the code JTRAIN to receive 15% off. Please support the show and tell them we sent you. So we're going to do a luxury lounge. Love the luxury lounge. That's the thing. So if you're familiar with this podcast from before, we did Mondays, you know, J Train, and then Thursdays was luxury lounge. Now we're trying to, like, put these together into this like fun one-stop shop. And we want you to like get involved with the Patreon, because at the end of every episode, we chop off the end and you can watch and listen to the end of the podcast. We also made it easy so you can like put the Patreon on Apple, right? And on Spotify, if you want to listen to it there, we've done that. That's all ready for you. So patreon.com/JaredFried for that, $5 a month. Also, I have a Coffee with J Train out. If you're listening to this right now, I put one out about my new hat that I purchased. I talked about
photo right here.
We got the photo. Put it up. Here's the hat. A lot of hat talk. I talk about Jerry and Teresa's divorce. So that's up. And if you keep going back, there's just a lot of like, I would consider Coffee with J Train my personal diary. You're hearing my audio personal diary, and it's every week, and I basically just hop on the mic, and I'm like, here's what happened, here's how I feel, and it does, when I meet Patreon subscribers, I like know they know a lot about me, and I really feel that, it's really nice, and it's also a little, it's weird, you know, I'm not gonna lie.
You're very honest. I mean, I work with other people that, you know, say that they're like, yeah, I talk about my life. Jared takes it to another level, which is like personable. And I think that that's why people tune in a lot to it.
They really love it.
Yeah. No. When I'm editing it, I'm like just fixing the levels. I'm like this, I start listening to it myself.
Thank you. It is very personal. To go back to the Seder thing and like how I make that decision.
Some people wouldn't say that because they think you're not calling that person out. Whatever you said to that person, you said to their face.
Right.
Which is, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's something I've done with my stand-up. And to go back to, like, people are saying something that drives me crazy, and I've done this, but I think it's a young, comics game to go on stage and be like, so my friend who's mad about the transgender Bud Light thing, you go, you don't know that person. Yeah. You don't know a person who's mad about that. Yeah. Why would you talk about someone you don't know?
Yeah.
You know, so I've kind of made the change of, like, recently, and I've thought a lot about it, of like, I just want to talk about me, someone I know, and that's the only people I would feel comfortable making fun of.
Yeah.
Why do I care about the subject? You know, like, I have to care. I don't know. So that's why I love when people write in their emails, their luxury lounge, I get to care about your problem because you've written it to me. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here's a luxury lounge. Title it Luxury Lounge if you want your luxury lounge read. Venmo the bride. J-Train, first off, I apologize in advance. This has already been discussed on the show. If this has already been discussed on the show. But even if it has, I feel like it's so despicable, it may even deserve another rant. Well, anything that's personal. Again, to go back to, like, it's not just, like, people. Like, the thing, like, right now, like, tipping culture's gotten out of control. We've done that. I need a personal story about how you've been wronged by tipping culture. Is really a more fun luxury lounge. That's more interesting to me. When the bachelorette party starts posting Instagram stories of the bride's Venmo requesting money for drinks, wildly inappropriate for so many reasons. So this is like a newish thing. Again, it's new because Venmo's newish.
Yeah.
You see the Venmo on the back of like a car and hey, this graduate is going to spring break. I understand it when... But I also, like, I don't want to send a Venmo to someone that, like, might be underage.
Fact.
You know, like, there's a lot of, like, again, old man Jared. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm probably thinking differently now at 39 than I would have at 25. Mm-hmm. Where I'd be like, yeah, send them a beer. And it's like, now I'm like, well, what if the beer affects them in a way that they don't have a good time on vacation and then they puke and then it's my fault. You know, you go down that road. So wildly inappropriate for so many reasons. If you can afford to be on a fucking yacht in Cabo on this bachelorette party with 15 women, buy the bride the shots yourself. Also, this bride makes a few hundred thousands a year, She's, oh, so this is where it's fun. So this person, it starts with when the bachelorette party starts posting Instagram stories of the bride's Venmo. Yeah, that's general, but this is, again, we want specificity. Here's where it's fun. This person knows this person. This person's saying that this girl is making $100,000 a year and is posting her Venmo to get drinks on her bachelorette party. A bachelorette party that we weren't invited to. It's absolutely insane to me that they had the audacity to do that. If anything, us peasants should be Venmo requesting the bride to throw us a couple bones. Important to note, I was not there, nor am I good friends with these people. Just acquaintances from college I follow on Instagram. I love this. Anyways, this stuff pisses me off beyond belief. Read the fucking room. Sincerely, bitter peasant. I agree. It is in such bad taste to go on a yacht and then go, give us money. That is insanity. And it's also like where, when you put something on Instagram stories, you're putting it up, especially on vacation, you're putting it on Instagram stories to let the world know who is at work currently, slaving away, trying to pay their rent, that you're having a good time. So not only are you bragging, look at us, we're on a boat, you're also going, and buy us a drink. And it's like, no. You're a bunch of women on a bachelorette party. Go to a bar and convince some other idiot who's paying for a yacht to buy you a drink. That's your job. Don't make it out. We're not out at the bar. I just don't like I don't like being sent Venmos randomly. I get those sometimes too. People are like, oh, I enjoy your podcast. Here's a Venmo for like $5. And I'm like, no. Stop this. I don't have a hat out. I'm not strumming my guitar in the corner of the street. Like, again, I don't like when people go outside of the realms of how I want to be paid to pay me. You've made a problem for me. When I sit here, I'm like, share to your Instagram story. I consider that payment. There you go. When I say here, support the sponsors, there you go. I'm giving you all, and this happens all the time. This used to happen at comedy shows where it's like I would go on stage and I'd like open for someone. And then after the show, you'd take pictures. And then some guy would be like, here, man, here's $50. I just had a great time. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to turn down your $50, but like that's not what I'm here for. Like, how about you follow, come back to another show? How about you support? You know, it is like this. Oh, it happens all the time.
Are you serious?
It's really annoying. It's
people
like
tip you?
They'll try and tip you. And it's always the same guy, same look. It's okay. Like very Sopranos. Like it's very like, hey man, I just had a great time, me and the wife. And it's like, get out of here. Have some class. I don't know. And then you like, no, take the $50. We can use it, you know, you can have a good time tonight. And you're like, no, get out of here.
That's hysterical. It's kind.
It's kind. It comes from a kind place. But it's like, it comes from a kind place, but it's like.
Read the fucking room.
Right. And it's also like, I'm not looking for $5 days. You know, like I'm looking to have like a career. And so when it comes to like, you know, Venmo the bride, like again, I'm talking from the other side, I guess. I can't even believe this is being shown on Instagram stories. It just shows you that we are different people online than we are in person. Like no one would see you on the street on the way to a bachelorette party and go, hey, do you want to buy the bride a drink? They would never do that. If you wouldn't do it in person, then maybe you shouldn't do it online. You know, and it's like, it's beer muscles. It's, oh, we've had a few drinks. Let's put our Venmo up. Maybe someone will send us $5. And you know who's going to send them $5 for a drink? A guy who wants to fuck the bride. That's what it is. So the idea that like, oh, all this money's coming. No. You're inviting danger. You're inviting, you know, bad actors. It's a bad look. So we're sponsored. BetterHelp. I like what BetterHelp's doing because I think therapy is really hard to like get into. You have to ask around, who am I going to go to? This creates a marketplace where you can find licensed professionals without having to go to your parents. Hey, do you know a therapist? Like how do you know Google therapy? Like no. This is a marketplace and they're going to find someone that's right for you. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you're pouring everything you got into work and there's nothing left over for you, it's time to make a change. BetterHelp's online therapy is incredible. Get matched with one of their licensed therapists and learn what you like to do, what and who makes you happy, and how to set boundaries so you can live your best life. Everything is done online. No driving to the office. or sitting on someone else's cold gray couch. You can do therapy from the privacy of your own home. I love it. I love the idea that you can get in your car, call this therapist, and do it over the phone while you drive around your neighborhood. Like, isn't that great? Getting started is simple. Just take a short quiz and BetterHelp will connect you with one of their licensed therapists. Switch therapists at any time for no additional charge and learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JTrain today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JTrain. So get involved with BetterHelp. Also, oh, I love Brooklinen. So I have Brooklinen sheets. My bed looks great, feels great. If you've been, and now it's springtime. It's like kind of renewal season. It's time to like get some new sheets. If it's been a year, it's time. You will be happier. You'll sleep better. This goes great with Beam. If you've been waiting to give your bedroom that refresh, now is the time. They've this week only, Brooklinen, celebrating their 10-year anniversary. I've been with Brooklinen since the beginning. Happy anniversary to us. I think Brooklinen has been sponsoring the show for literally the 10 years that they've been in business. This makes me proud. They're doing it big. 25% off their award-winning home essentials. 10 years down the line, Brooklinen is the trusted voice in home goods. You know how I know Brooklinen's good? Because my mom asked for it. Mom approved. That's all that needs to be said. Customizable bedding bundles. You'll redo your whole vibe with one buy. Not just sheets. Shop Brooklinen's ever-growing home assortments, including robes, silk accessories, candles, and laundry products. So they basically own the space of making your home into a spa. There's no better time to shop Brooklinen's home essentials than this week during their 10-year anniversary sale. So I'm going to say this right now. They've been sponsoring for all the 10 years. I don't think they've ever done a deal like this. Shop 25% off site-wide and up to 45% off bundles in-store and online at brooklinen.com. That's a lot of money. They've never done a deal like this. BROOKLINEN.com, brooklinen.com. 25% off site-wide, up to 45% off bundles in-store and online, brooklinen.com. So we have a mailbag. Papa JT, I write to you a few seltzers deep. I love it. And I hope this makes sense. Hashtag I love you. Totes Prish, love you too. 2018. Okay, here we go. Let's go back. In 2018, I made some life changes decisions. In 2018, I made some life-changing decisions for myself. This gave me the confidence to go against the status quo and start stripping. Good for you. Listen, I think you're bringing home the do-re-mi. Opens up your life. I loved it and became really good. And as you'd expect, the money was great. I also should mention that I was not in the best place mentally. Okay. You know, it's interesting. It's like, it's interesting that you're like, I did this thing that was, I loved it, but I wasn't in the right place mentally. So like, it's hard. 2020 hit and I stopped. Yeah, that's when stripping, I guess, went out the door. I didn't go to the OnlyFans route and have basically been in retirement since April 2020. Since December 2019, I met my husband and got married. He's a wonderful man who loves me unconditionally and knew of my dancing past, but now my problem. My husband and I are buying a home and moving to Florida. The costs of everything have me really stressed, and I think dancing may be a way out of this. I also think our location is prime for this because we're surrounded by young military. My husband is wonderful, but I've never danced while in a serious relationship. I have set boundaries for myself in the club, but I still worry I'll find myself in sticky situations. Yes. I mean, strip clubs, bars, nothing good happens after midnight. This is just the way of the world. So not to say a strip club shouldn't exist, but it is a place where bad things happen. That is just the reality. Men, sex, drugs, alcohol, bad mix. Women, part of that mix. That's a tough stew. My husband loves me so much, but I worry about resentment that may build. Or will the money be enough for him? This is all new to me, and I wonder how you would feel. Thank you for your wisdom. Love, a stripping wife. The reason I
She emailed back.
Can I read this or?
Yeah, I guess.
I feel I'm a, she says she's in a much better place to handle strip club environment and make some serious money. So she's thinking about this a lot. I like this email. It's in the gray of like, listen, I don't think anyone is like pushing someone into stripping. Like, I don't think like, and again, that's, and it's hard to say in this world of like, we want to say everything's right and I don't want to judge, but we all judge. I do think when you, I think let's consider this starting a business. If you were to start a business, you would consult your husband and discuss what it would take as a family to start this business. So I think if you think of it from that perspective, that, hey, I'm going to start a business. This will take this amount of time. It's going to take this amount of investment. It's going to, and again, and I like that we started this podcast talking about like the pie chart in your head when you're starting a business, like why you do things. Well, I go to the open mic because it'll get my jokes better for when people start buying tickets, it'll be worth it to them. So in the same way, there's intrinsic value, you know, so this is to say your investment is not just money. Your investment is your husband and you. You know, the one thing I see in this, and I just think you have to include him. I think you need to say, hey, we are looking, we're coming on hard times. I know the recipe to fix this problem. I can get more work. Something I've thought of is stripping again. What, how does that make you feel? And let him talk. I think because it's based on your email, and when you say in the second email, I feel I'm in a much better place to handle a strip club environment, that's great. I'm happy for you. But you're also going to like have to be ultra aware of the triggers that come in. You're not, you might be ready, but you're not there yet. You're hypothetically ready. So I would include your husband in this. I would say, let's talk it out. This is our problem, not my problem. Our problem is a lack of funds. I can make us, you know, I can be a part of that solution by getting a secondary job. One of those being stripping. How does that make you feel? He might look at you and go, non-starter. That's not what we are doing. I think what makes this a little bit more fun and easy and edible is it's a we problem. And you including him in that, I think that's not you going, I'm going to go strip because I want to go. You know, it takes away the element of like the sexuality of it to me. It's hey, we can make an extra $1,000 a month if I do this. I would also say the one thing in it, in your email, and you say, I think our location is prime because we're surrounded by young military. I could understand how you and him together could decide maybe we go a town away. Maybe we go to a different area so that we don't mix, you know, our home with business, with this enterprise. It's a little bit Breaking Bad, you know, like it's like the idea. But I do think like this is specific. This is a very specific answer to your problems. And listen, stripping is an art form. There's people that take stripping classes. Like there's not, you know, also there's some states, I don't know about Florida, where you can't show nipples. Like there, so it's like, There are certain rules, so the stripping is more dancing than it is anything else. Maybe you don't do lap dances as a stripper. Maybe you have rules with that. I would just get on board with like this being a business venture for you both. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing as like a comedian. Like anyone I would date, we are comedians. Mm-hmm. You say that's your husband. We are now strippers. We are going to strip together. I think that's the important part, is including him. You two are a business. You two are looking to make up this, make it about dollars. We can make up this $1,000 a month that we're missing out on. I can either go work at a coffee shop or I can strip because I'm pretty damn good at it. And, you know, your time to be able to strip, I don't know. You can't do it when you're 80. Or maybe you can. I don't know. I'm into this. I think we're going to go to Patreon. We're going to Patreon now. I'm going to do a new segment in Patreon. That's not a real good way to get people to subscribe. I think check out this new thing I'm going to try in Patreon, but I think it's kind of cool. I want to talk about what to watch. I find it really hard to find new shows, and I found this website. I didn't look too hard. It's literally Googled, like, what are the premieres? And we're going to read TV We're going to read descriptions of new shows coming out, and we're going to decide whether we should go watch them or not. So you can sign up for Patreon, patreon.com/JaredFreed. Again, as I said in the beginning, I love this show. I love tinkering with it. It is my, you know, my classic car that I keep, you know, taking my wrench to and fixing up. So part of this is like, hey, Patreon is where I'm really going to do that. And patreon.com/JaredFreed, $5 a month. You get the coffee with J Train, whereas V said, very personal on there. I tell some stories. I go through the week that was. I mean, if you've seen me on the road, the new act came from a Patreon episode. It came from, and once the new act is out as a special, where in whatever form that may be out, I'll explain the story from Patreon that that the real story, but the story's true, but you change it for stage to make it easier to follow. But it's from Patreon, patreon.com/JaredFreed. We're going to talk about TV shows to watch. So, and we're doing it for this week. So it's going to be for Monday through Sunday. So let's go to Patreon.